Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Bonnie, it's really you.
Are you shocked to see my face?
So you got it working?
Yeah, I set up a whole new Zoom account on the laptop, and that seemed to work.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's good. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. And, geez, it's so nice to be seen.
So we're having an uneventful week. My wife fractured 3 ribs. And then she spent 4 days in the hospital, and now we have home health care people coming.
Oh, how's she doing?
She's doing all right.
Slip and fall on the ice?
No. Next to the bed.
Oh, I feel for her. I hope you're being a good nurse.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's the same. She has a balance problem, and it happens a lot.
Yeah, I understand that one.
But this is the first time she broke something.
Jeez. So,
it's the way it goes. Oh. All right. President's okay. Day, all except one.
Oh, good. Sharon, I'm dying to hear about your show.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Larry. I don't know how to adjust it. Oh, well. Oh, no, no, it's more so. It's not going to adjust.
Oh, it's interesting. I can see everybody better on the laptop, too.
Maybe better resolution.
Compared to what, Bonnie?
My desktop.
Oh, really? Huh?
Well, the laptop's new.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I haven't hooked up the new monitor to it. Because I got I bought a big monitor.
I have, a 28-inch monitor behind my laptop. But I don't have it on. I only use it if I'm going to work on images.
Yeah. I kind of need it more and more these days, so.
Yeah. Or glasses.
Well, I've got glasses.
I was able to give up my computer glasses when I got the large monitor.
Hey.
Now I don't have to buy 2 different pairs of glasses.
I want Sharon to talk about her show.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to take over, so let's let
her. No, go ahead.
What about it? It's a week ago.
Have you recovered?
No, ours down pretty tired. We were pretty exhausted going into it. We have never
I would imagine. Been
tired going into it. I guess the thing, doing a festival in COVID is hard. Mm. Very hard. Even though we, and not, I don't think, because, I mean, there were lots of protocols that we had to be sure were being enforced, and that was hard, but I think it's more of a psychological, it's hard. It's exhausting for the people running it. But it went fine. You know, the crowd was appropriately small. There were artists who didn't like that, but the crowd was appropriately small. That was intentional. It was smaller on Sunday than we had anticipated. And I'm not sure that we had a pretty strong weather threat in the morning, which turned out to be nothing. It rained for like 15 minutes, pretty hard, 15, 20 minutes. But then it was beautiful. The sun came out. It was gorgeous the rest of the day. But I think that weather throughout the morning helped dampen the crowd, so to speak. And it was Sunday. We've since talked to the director of the Bonita Art Festival, which is just down the road from us, which this year was on the same weekend. It's never that way, but it was this year. And they were dead. He said they had just terrible audience. So I don't know. Anyway, it's hard. So
are you just glad it's over?
I am glad it's over. I'm also glad we did it. You know, as much as it was hard, I'm glad we did it because it was good for our community to do that. It was good for the artists to be out. It was somewhat entertaining on Friday, which is our setup day, because many of them had not done a show since March. It was sort of like, wait, how do I do this tent thing? I mean,
exactly. I'm afraid I'm not going to know how to set the tent up anymore.
Yeah. So that was entertaining for all of for them too, right? It was like, what's happening here? But that all went smooth, and it was just sort of a fun thing for everybody. But it's hard. I can't wait for 22. We're going to take a really heavy hit on our reserve funds. Fortunately, we have enough that we can do that and keep everybody employed and go to 22. But
and hopefully everything will be back to normal.
Or normal enough, right?
The new normal.
Pardon me?
The new normal.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question. I was talking to Cindy Larrick the other day. Some of you may know she contracted with us this year to do our virtual show and some other things. But we were talking about, you know, what is that new normal? I mean, what are art shows going to look like? Are they ever going to look like the huge events they were? Maybe. I'm not saying they're not. I just think it's a question. I don't mean that in any way of us saying that they're not. It's just, I just think it's a question.
I'm seeing a lot of artists retiring.
The what?
I'm seeing a lot of artists retiring and selling their stuff.
Right. There's artists retiring. Where's the next generation of them? And again, that's just a question. Volunteers have retired because they didn't want to do it this year because they didn't feel safe. Are they going to come back? I don't know. Maybe.
They'll come back.
You know, there's some directors that are going to call it quits out there.
How are the event sales? Combined with the event meet.
Sales did not go well. The event did have really great attendance. Last time I checked, it was about 32,000 people. And artists range from, because you can see it on the page, artists range from 300 or 400 visits, you know, to their page, to several thousand visits to their page. So I guess then I would be like, well, how does that compare to how many people actually come in your booth at an event? I mean, I don't know the answer to that, right? But on any particular artist, even if there's 50,000 people at the event, how many come in your tent?
Yeah.
And I don't know that, right? But so how does that compare to virtual? And then what do you think about how to sell to those people virtually and what else needs to come about in that world? And then how does that mix with the in-persons? I mean, I just think there's a lot of questions about that and going forward in the world and in the demographic of people attending and demographic of people who would like to shop online. And I just think it's a whole bunch of questions, a whole bunch of questions.
Now, I have not done well with Evently, but I haven't done it in conjunction with an in-person show. So that would be interesting to see.
Well, I think it's interesting to me how, I'm going to be careful how I say this. Interesting to me how artists do or do not promote what's happening with them online. And could they make more of that? You know, we had great pages for artists to put up demos. And even though they have demo videos on their websites, didn't want them on the virtual pages. But if you go our page, I mean, if you've been there, it's a huge, it's not just an Evently page, it's a multi-page, multi-activity site. Anybody who has a demo on our artist demo page has a link from there to their store. So you would think you might want to do that. So I find that interesting. You know, I'm not quite sure what's up with that. But so I think there's a lot to pursue in that world and to figure out how to do that.
How many artists hate marketing?
How much what?
How many artists hate marketing?
Right, most, right? So, I mean, in my opinion, most hate it.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody. But so I guess to that, I'm like, okay, cool. We love it and we are good at it. So send us the stuff so we can do that for you. That's my thing. Like,
how very sensible of you and how very nonsensible of them.
Well, it's interesting how many artists feel that it is totally up to the show to do all the promotion. And my whole thing is, well, that's fine and dandy, and I will do the best job I possibly can to get everybody there. But I can't necessarily reach your customers because I don't have their email addresses. I don't have their information. You cannot blame me if your sales aren't as good as they could have been if you do nothing on your end.
I had an exhibit last year and I sent out postcards and I sent out like 700 postcards. And the reason I decided to send out postcards is once a year in the county, we have a time when you can take all your toxic materials to the dump for free. And the first year we lived here, we got a little message in our property tax bill. And so we marked it on the calendar and went, and there were like maybe 20 people. We were in and out. The next year they sent out postcards, and I took the postcard and sat it on the table. And then when it was time, we did the same thing, and it took us 5 hours. The line was out to the street, and I said, okay, postcards going out.
And did you see a result from that?
Yes, I did quite well at the exhibit. I mean, it's one of the things that kept me going this year. Well, 2018 was a horrible year for me. I retired and decided, woohoo, I can do art festivals all the time now. And I burnt myself out completely. And plus, it was a horrible year for weather. Every show was bad weather. And so in 2019, I said, okay, we have to diversify. I got into some galleries. I beefed up the online. And that has kept me going this year, was keeping the galleries and online sales.
Oops, someone froze. And I think diversifying is a thing, you know, and that's because I know there's artists who'd had a very good year this year, not just with us, but a good year in total, because they worked their email lists, because they worked their social, because they had that information. And so they worked it and they ended up selling great, and they didn't have much expense because they stayed home. Right. So it came a great year for them. You know, there's an artist here, happens to be a jeweler who has been with us a very long time, always gets in. And I'm not going to say how much he sold, but it was record-breaking for him in 5 digits. He was thrilled. It's because they worked their list, you know. And we had the same thing with painters and people who worked their list.
Yeah, isn't that, I mean, the fact that at any show, the artists that do the best have their own mailing list.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
I've collected, as an artist, I've collected emails and snail mail forever, since, you know, shortly after I started, from anybody that's bought someone is on my list. Those postcards that I send out, even though they're a pain to do, I can normally trace right back 25 to 35% of my sales. to that mailing. And that doesn't count the people that have passed along my postcard to their neighbor or whatever, and they've come and bought something. That's just direct to those people. I just don't understand the not collecting their information. And then for our show, we do a drawing to and give away a little bit of money every hour. And so consequently, oh, the money is in art fair bucks. I mean, they have to be spent at the show. And so we have everyone sign up and almost everyone gives us street address and email. So we've got a huge mailing list for the show and the postcards really work much better than, even though we've got a really good open rate on our emails, the postcards do the best job.
And the business cards too. There's a discussion going on Facebook about, no, don't give out business cards. And I'm like, I can tell, you know, if it's been a good show, if I've given out half a box of business cards, that's what I said. And I just sold 4 prints to a guy from Artisphere who bought a piece from me in Artisphere and kept the card and follows me. And I haven't been in Artisphere for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I find it easier to give out my business cards. I do that with every single purchase.
Yeah.
I've done the postcards. I did them about 10 years ago, even said I'd give you a 10% off if you bring the card. I had 2 out of probably 700. So the postcards didn't do well. My business cards, I get roughly 1 or 2 people asking, hey, I love them so much, I want more. Mm-hmm. So I do better with the business cards because it has all my information on it.
I've paid for my business cards many times over.
Well, the postcards with a discount, I have never done that. Well, no, I had never done that. And so I did it for one show at like 10% off or something. And people that got the postcards, nobody used them.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it.
Okay, you know, yeah. I know I don't need to offer that.
That's why I didn't do postcards anymore. Out of all the mail, even though they know the people who are looking for me, they know what shows I'm usually at. So,
well, my postcards work, but the discount didn't.
So if I could ask you, this is my personal thing. Actually, there's several directors that feel this way. Ask you when you're going to give an incentive that you make it a value added, not a discount.
Yes.
Your artwork was worth $1,000. It's still worth $1,000. If you want to give $100 off, give them something else, like you buy the original. Well, that's a bad example for original, but let's say you buy the original and they get a pack of note cards or they get a print for their child or something, right? That's inexpensive to you, but a value to them for something, present for a child or your mother or note cards, things that you might not be able to sell at the show, right? We wouldn't let you sell note cards, but if you want to give them away as a value added, I don't care. Rather than discounting your work, it just really breaks my heart when I see artists discount their work. Because if it was worth $1,000, it's worth $1,000.
I totally agree.
So,
very good advice.
Yeah, and that's why artists don't like auctions either. Because they're giving away their work.
The floor is the value of your work, right? If the floor is $1,000 and that's the value of your work, then cool. But not if I get to buy it for $500 at the auction and I'd had to pay you $1,000 in person. That's not right. In my opinion.
Okay. Bonnie, like, nice to see you on video.
Yes.
Nice to see my face moving.
Yes.
I finally just set up a whole new Zoom account under a different email, bypassing all of the issues that I was having with my normal account. So, yeehaw. This was like a big deal. kept saying to Dick, but I have to be on it. Well, he said, you can use the desktop. And I'm like, no, I can't. I've got to show them my face.
So is anybody else on the show, either as an artist or a director? Bonnie hasn't, you haven't had anything yet, have you, Bonnie?
No, because we got our show in right before everything shut down last year.
And so you have one coming up?
No, we're not doing it because it would be next weekend. And we're not doing it this year. It's indoors and it's way too crowded.
No, indoors is just, I don't know how anybody does anything inside. We moved all of our check-in outside, our artist check-in, our volunteer check-in, not even in a tent, it was outside. We didn't have anything inside other than the bathroom.
I don't know if I announced this last week. I got my first COVID shot.
Me too.
Hey.
Me too.
I'm totally vaccinated as of yesterday. Whoa.
Wonderful.
You are free to move about.
No
it pays to be old.
No side effects, Bonnie?
None. I had the Pfizer. And I kind of wrote off today because the way everyone was talking, the second one, you might have some side effects. Absolutely nothing. Friend who had the same thing yesterday, no side effects at all.
I had side effects with mine, not really, a little bit of gastrointestinal distress in the morning and then chills. I just couldn't get warm and I just went to bed.
On your first one or second one?
That was the first one.
I had read about some doctor who had gotten a second one and was basically sick as a dog for 2 days, alternating chills and fever, wrapping himself up, throwing the blankets off, and telling his wife, it's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it.
It is. It was.
You guys are giving me scares. I'm getting my second one on Saturday.
Well, you know, it's the
Shingrix one was worse.
Gratification from Bonnie.
The first Shingrix I had laid me out for 3 days.
The first one?
The Shingrix shot, yeah. I was in bed for 3 days.
Maybe you're just vaccine sensitive.
So I had shingles shots this last year, and the first one I had both pneumonia and shingles at the same time, both times. I had a sore arm the first time. The second time, I had chills. For a couple hours, but you know, I went to bed and I woke up fine. I was not a happy person that evening, but well worth it. So, but I haven't had shots. I think we've really screwed up in New Jersey. I mean, I know people who've had one shot and two shots, but then I know some people who are in their late 70s and 80s who haven't gotten them yet. So, I think it's just not really being well run around here.
Not just New Jersey.
It's the same thing here. A shipment that was supposed to come in didn't, so they had to close down all the drive-through vaccination things the city had set up, or the county had set up. Right now they've used up 92% of what they had, and only I think 15% of the population has been has had a vaccine. Mm-hmm. They're still working on 1A. Mm-hmm. So there's some seniors that are getting it, but mostly they're concentrating on first responders, and a whole bunch of other groups are saying, hey, what about us? What about us? What about us?
And, well, you know, if there's not enough, there's not enough, but the fact is that I know people who are spending hours trying to get, and I know this one woman who's, her mother doesn't speak good English, she's an immigrant, and she and her sister have been spending hours just trying to get her mother scheduled, and her mother is 90-ish.
That's in New York.
CVS came out where we are, CVS came out, and that they were offering vaccines. And I did a list of every CVS in the state of Virginia that I could drive through. And then I got the message from the health district where I had registered that, oh, here's your appointment. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, we had, I think, three different places that we could register. So I did, and it really, the call or the email came rather quickly. Now, my husband's didn't come until, I think, a couple weeks later. But he was just a few days later in signing up. But I will say that about the second vaccine, people told me, it's just going to be horrible. And I said, I don't care. Exactly. Off the day, I don't care if I'm sick as a dog. I want
it's
both.
It's been horrible the past year.
Yeah, we're lucky.
Right, so.
Yeah, we're lucky. We have a small local privately owned drugstore.
I was reading that those are the ones that are really doing the right best job.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago she got 100 dosages in, and our second shot is scheduled for March 5th, I think. Right. And she came out and gave my wife an injection in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Ours was drive-through here. When we went to get ours, it was drive-through. It was great. You just got in the queue and followed along, and pretty soon you came to these carts that were like a nurse's cart, you know, a bunch of them lined up, and you just pulled your car up and rolled down your window, put out your arm, and off you went. We had to go sit in the parking lot for 20 minutes to make sure we
right, were. Right. That's what we had to do also.
Ours was absolute chaos. I stood in line outside for an hour and a half but didn't move. But I did get it.
Stand in line because they had no accommodations for handicapped. Mm. So, and unless you wanted to somehow go get the wheelchairs that he had available, you couldn't bring your own in because of a curb you couldn't get over with it. And then you could not take that wheelchair back to your car for wherever you park.
Mm.
So what do you do? One lady was, her husband has a walker, but you know, he can't stand for an hour and a half in line. And he's 95, but he got his shot finally.
You all need to be in Michigan. It took me from the time I got out of my car for the first shot, from the time I got out of my car till I got back in was 30 minutes. Oh. The second shot, it was much busier, and it was 45 minutes from out of the car till back in the car.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm freezing, and it's a little over 50 degrees outside right now.
You wouldn't be like in Michigan right now.
No.
Or Virginia. Well, it's not too bad here. But
more than I wanted to ever see as far as cold winters.
Well, I keep telling people if I didn't want to be here, I wouldn't be, so.
Yeah.
I liked living in New Hampshire for the 2 years I lived there because when it snowed, you could actually do something with it. Mm-hmm. Now, here in D.C., we get a couple inches of snow and a quarter inch of ice on top, and you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything.
Well, that area gets a lot of ice.
It gets ice, and it doesn't get, you know, once every 10 years or so, we get a decent snowstorm.
Well, I remember doing the Baltimore ACC show 1 year, and they had a huge snowstorm.
Oh.
1 inch of snow, and people were out with their brooms just fluffing it away, but yet everything shut down. The restaurants closed.
Oh, wow.
It was just crazy.
Yeah, New Hampshire was business as usual. I was there in the big snow in 79, and Massachusetts closed down for a week, but New Hampshire just business as usual. Yes, yes, work is open.
I knew a guy when I was living on Long Island who had grown up in Buffalo, and he was just laughing every time there was a snowstorm. So you people in Long Island, you're such wusses. And Long Island, you know, they can handle snow reasonably well compared to D.C. or Baltimore, but compared to Buffalo, where, you know, 6 feet of snow in a winter is a perfectly normal winter.
Buffalo gets those lake effect. like right. we do here.
Yep.
And that makes all the difference.
Yep.
Okay. I had a call earlier today from a photographer who was complaining about the quality of his images on Zap. One image in particular looked really blurry after he uploaded it. And I don't know if anybody has experienced that or there was a post about it on Art Fair Insiders recently. And I had answered him and he called me up. The more detail in the image, the more the image does not look crisp after Zap processes it.
Have you checked it on Zap yourself?
No, but I've heard that before. Ben Fry discovered that years ago, and he makes sure that the images he uploads for jurying don't have a lot of lines in it, because the lines kind of disappear. Because when you upload the images, they're 1920, then they get reduced to 700 or 750. The reduction blurs some of the detail. And actually, that's the problem he had, the photographer that called me, that when he was looking at it in Photoshop on his computer, it looked perfect. And this has always been an issue.
Are they lowering the quality parameters as well as the
pixel? Well, you have to look at it. Even if it's resized and saved at 100%, it's still a lower quality.
Okay.
It's a JPEG, and anytime you make a change, you lose quality no matter what.
Right.
So the more detail, the more chance you have of losing quality.
So the 1920 by 1920 images we're sending in are not the final?
They are for the shows that project the images. But for the shows that use monitors, they're 750.
Ours weren't that. Ours were 1920. And we monitor juried this year. We're normally a projection show, but we didn't project this year because of COVID. We didn't have an in-person jury. But
we do monitor juring, and I'm pretty sure ours are 1920 by 1920.
They can't be, because they would be bigger than the screen.
Well, yeah, but the image comes up to us. I'm just looking up our Zap account. The image comes up to us at a thumbnail, and then we enlarge it.
And the enlarged image is 750 square. Now, I'm not sure if they started offering that to click on to go to the 1920 to see detail.
I'm just looking.
We can, on the monitor juring, we can see huge detail.
Yeah. Well, then it's linked to the 1920s now.
Okay.
But the size, it's the same size you see when you enlarge them in your portfolio. They're 750. That's what the monitor jurors see.
Might have looked okay. Of course, I'm doing panoramas, so there's a lot of black space on mine.
Right.
Hey, Sharon, what would you do differently with the same parameters that you have this year? What would you do differently next year?
If we had to create it the same way to do it again?
Yeah.
I'd hire a different security company because they were a pain in the ass. that's probably that I don't know till after, right? But
yeah.
I don't know that I would do anything differently. We ticketed, we had a gate fee, which we normally do not. We're normally a free event. but we had to reduce our crowd size. That's the only way to do that. So I probably would stay with that just to make sure the crowd size stayed down. You know, we did temperature control, not with the crowd, but with artists. Everybody had to temperature every day. They had to sign the COVID waiver every day. When they lined up for setup in the staging lots, we temperatured in the, we gun temperatured in the staging lot on everybody. Because why let them come in and talk to their neighbors before they come get a test? I mean, like, you got to do it before they come in. Otherwise, what's the point? So,
did anybody fail?
No, they did not.
Excellent.
And the same with the volunteers. And our rule, our announced rule was that if you failed in Fort Myers in Florida, you're able to get a rapid test in 10 minutes. I mean, it's, we have really great testing here. So our rule was if you failed as an artist or artist assistant partner, you had to go to the rapid test center and bring us back a negative test before you could come in.
Excellent.
On our volunteers, it was if you fail, you can just go home. I mean, they're there for 4 hours. It's not the same as an artist. So you have to give an alternative too. So, but no, no one failed. We got lots of good feedback about thanking us for doing that, having the testing, not testing, but the temperatures, making people sign off. I'm sure there's artists who didn't like it. I mean, that I'm sure there's somebody who didn't like it, but not that we heard from. So I would probably.
I've heard nothing if that.
Did the public wear masks?
Yeah. That, that's
the public was very good about it. The public and the artists were all required to wear masks. I would say 95% when we, because we patrolled around a lot for that. You had to have it on when you came in the gate. Then there were some people who took them off. But most people, at least I talked to, I think they genuinely did forget to put it back on because they had a beer bottle in their hand and like had just taken the last drink of that or a Coke or water. And I think they genuinely just hadn't done it yet. And then there were a handful that were, I'm not wearing a mask because there's no Florida mandate.
Yeah, the entitled.
Yeah, the entitled patch. And we said, then fine, the exit's there.
Cool.
We had adopted, it was on our website, a no tolerance attitude towards masks. If you don't want to wear one, that's fine, but not here. So, and our volunteers did. We had signage everywhere. We own more mask signage and distancing signage if anybody, it's got our name on it, but otherwise, $3,000 or so worth of signage.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody,
very expensive. COVID event is very expensive.
Did you temperature check the visitors coming in?
No, it's too hard. Not just logistically, it's hard, but it's legitimate that you might be overheated. You might test warm because you just walked from a parking lot, or you may test warm because you're African-American or Hispanic because your skin's dark. You are hotter if you're out in the sun. I mean, it just comes across hotter when you don't have a temperature. So there's just too many
variables
on attendees. But we did do artists and volunteers, sponsors, our vendors, food vendors, that kind of vendor. Our suppliers, all those people.
I'm so glad to hear that it went well.
Yeah.
You know, you really put in a huge effort for your artists.
That's why we're exhausted.
Yeah. But I can't thank you enough, and I didn't even do the show. It's just...
Well, come to Babcock Ranch with us.
I'm not doing any shows right now.
You have
my first show is July. Right. I'm hoping that everything is calmed down.
Who in July?
State College.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I hope they go for it. I heard the other day Columbus is already canceled.
Yep. 2 weeks after I went through this whole thing because I was on the wait list and I was like,
oh, for Columbus?
For Columbus, I'm like, do I go? Do I not go? My husband was anti-going. And, you know, I went through all this and finally decided, no, I'm not going to go. And then, like, a week later, they canceled. I was like, I went through all that for nothing.
Well, I think the important thing for people to know, and I think from watching the forums, that there's not enough understanding of this, that a lot of the decision is not up to the show. It's up to the city Secretary of the State, right, and our county. And so it's good news and bad news that we're in Florida. You know, our governor wouldn't stop anything. So we can have shows. I mean, that's the good news and the bad news here. But that's not necessarily true in Columbus or anybody else who's already canceled for summer, that they may have rules from their state or city that they can't. And so what are they going to do?
It's interesting. Show in May that has like 400 artists. They're all, the booth spaces are 10 by 10 exactly. And they take up every inch of room. And I'm just, I'm not counting all of it all.
Well, you know, I went to, and saying nothing bad about Bonita Springs, right? They're friends of ours down the road here. But it's interesting, even within the same county, because they're in the same county as us, but we're different cities. Their city has zero requirements for COVID safety, none.
Wow.
And so Bonita could do whatever they wanted. Our city doesn't have requirements, this is weird, but we had to turn in an acceptable COVID plan and have it reviewed by one of the assistant medical directors at our hospital. And so we did that. And so we did all the things that were in the CDC plan, that template that an event should do to be safe. So we had all that. Bonita had none because they had no requirement to do that. And we're in the same county. Right? So it's like I said, nothing against them. They did what they needed to do. We did what we needed to do. But I think there's not enough understanding of that among artists that it's not up to the show necessarily. So.
Yeah, I called when they sent out the application and I said, what happens? You know, is it going on? And they said, we don't even apply for a permit until March. We'll send you your money back if it doesn't go on.
Yeah, most permits are a couple months ahead.
So. Well, I just got my contract for 2024 or 3 from the venue that we use, which is the Kalamazoo County Expo Center. And I haven't signed it and sent it back because I feel like I am signing my life away with all the COVID requirements. Now, will we need them that far off? I have no idea. But it's pretty scary. You know, I don't want to put my home at risk.
Right.
For, yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive. I'd be happy to talk to you offline about how expensive.
Thank you.
Ugh. Yeah, it's rough.
But I have to tell you, if you don't have your show, there is this huge hole. You know, my shows, I am supposed to be getting no sleep. Bags under my eyes are because of all my time spent promoting the show and answering questions and all that. It's supposed to be the biggest, busiest time of my entire year. And it's not. And it breaks my heart.
Well, I think the other thing is that the shows that have had to cancel, again, Cindy and I were talking about this, the folks who had to cancel last year, starting mid-March, right? So all those guys in the summer and fall, and who are having to cancel again for the second time, and they're going to go 2 years without a festival.
Mm.
The work to remake that brand on year 3 is significant, right? So I think that's one of the reasons that festivals are doing virtual and things like that. And we're doing pop-ups and other small things, even though we had both of our festivals, to keep the brand alive. You know, Gasparilla is doing a big virtual event. It opens on the 18th, I think, is their opening night. They were down here visiting with us on the in-person, but they're not doing their in-person. But a lot of the reason they're doing the virtual is to keep the Gasparilla Art Festival brand alive. So that next year, they're good. Winter Park is doing a postponed festival. They're doing virtual, but they're doing a postponed festival, but not till May, because they couldn't get dates until May, because other things are going on. May is a miserable time to do a festival in February. I mean, and they know that, right? It's hot. But they had to cancel last year, and so they don't want to cancel again, because in 2 years without Winter Parks Festival makes it really hard to gear up that third year and get that brand back and your volunteers back and your committees back, and with 2 years of delay. Right? So they kind of have to go for it so they can keep their brand alive. So there's so much involved. It's not simple.
My biggest fear is, am I going to remember to do everything next year? You know, what do I not have notes of? It's
like, how do you set your tent up, right?
How do you set the tent up?
Oh, yeah.
I have to go through and check everything in the van.
Yeah, I have great lists for that.
Well, nothing ever comes out of the van except for the fact that we lose power here now and then. So I've got my power supplies and my Ryobi batteries in and things like that, just to charge phones. But and my work is down. I'm doing a gallery delivery on Wednesday, and after that, I'm going to have like 10 pieces in my van. Usually I carry 40. So I'm just thinking about, oh, have I got a lot of framing to do? But it's exciting too that, you know, I'm thinking July is going to happen. I don't think May is going to happen, but I'll be ready for it if it does.
I imagine Rick is doing everything he can to make that happen. I'm sure the State College is doing everything they can. If they don't happen, it won't be for lack of effort on his part.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about Ann Arbor. Just because there are the four shows going on and all those people, and we're just not there yet. And that's July.
Yeah, you're kind of on the opposite side of the governor, right? Good news and, well, good news and good news in Michigan. But anyway, being able to, but Ann Arbor is so big and so dense, you know.
That's just it.
You got a cut number of artists. We did that. We cut 55 artists so that we could spread out. And actually, it's kind of nice, actually, with 6 feet between.
We like it too, as long as we get in.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's much more hospitable, and if we had our normal crowd, it would be nice having that extra space. We had many requests from artists to keep it that way, even after. And other than making up 55 times $450, get one more sponsor, we could pay for that. But that's part of the hit of being expensive.
That's 50 artists that don't get in. So
right, it's also that. Right, it's a lack of opportunity for those 50. So, but it is kind of nice spread out. So I don't know what that decision is going to be.
That's what Reston says they're going to do. They said they will go on if they have to spread out and everything. And I'm thinking, that's a pretty tight area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think it would really help most shows to cut back on the number of artists, because over the years the shows have grown bigger and bigger, and the area may not support it.
Yeah, one of our questions going forward is, you know, we're 22, we'll be 22 years old next year, is do you stay as large? I mean, we're the largest event in Southwest Florida. Do you stay as big? Do you become more boutique-y? There's artists retiring. What do you do to be, is the new world going to be more boutique-like? Or is it going to be more large-like? I mean, I could argue both things. I could argue for real boutique-like. I could argue for large and mass appeal. I mean, I think it's interesting.
I'm not seeing a lot of younger artists out there.
Pardon me?
I'm not seeing a lot of younger artists out there.
Just all these old farts that have been doing it forever.
Well, I think the question for younger artists is, are younger artists looking at festivals as one way or the only way? I mean, of selling? or they looking at what's the online world like, because that's the world they grew up in.
Mm-hmm. Or they're online.
Right? I mean, so then what does the festivals do, right? I mean, I don't think they'll go away at all. But what do they do since the artist and the attendee are changing? So with the demographics are changing. Now, how fast that happens, one could, you know, is it 5 years or 10 or 20? I mean, that's a question, but that's the evolution. So what do the festivals do? Do they, and how does the definition of success change, right? Is success that I sold, you know, $10,000, or is success that I sold 5,000 and I gained really good leads to build my future sale? I mean, is that success? I mean, what is that definition?
Many years ago, the whole thing was that you needed, I don't remember, 5, 7, 8 different streams of income if you were going to actually make a living doing this. And there weren't that many options back then. Now there are with online and so on. And I think it's just got to be a combination. But boy, I don't want shows to go away.
I think that there's probably a deep hunger, including amongst young people who have been forced into isolation for over a year, just to be in groups. I think we're going to see the, just as the roaring 20s after the flu and pandemic of the 1919s, we're going to see a roaring 20s. I think there's going to be a lot of hedonism and a lot of energy in people socializing as soon as they feel safe.
There's something written about that, right? About that evolution of pandemics, that you go through this period that we're doing right now, and then you go through the, it's better, but I still don't feel safe, but it really is better. And am I really going to go out to dinner? And am I really going to talk to you in person? I mean, you go through all that psychological part, and then you hit the roaring 20s.
Because whether it's going to be 22 or 23, 24, but we're going to see some sort of rebound and rebalancing.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'm getting older and older.
Well, me too.
But shows have been changing a lot in the last few years, just generally speaking. So they were kind of due for a reset. Not sure this is exactly what we were all thinking when we were saying
that.
But my hope is that we will come back slightly different, but stronger. More appreciated by the public.
Yeah. But I think a lot of shows are going to go under is we've got way too many shows in some of it. It's like every little art center says, oh, let's make money and let's put on a show. And I think a lot of those are going to go under. But they're gonna, it's going to be too much trouble. They're not going to make.
Yeah. And then to argue the opposite side of what I just said, because that foolish consistency being the hobgoblin of little minds, I am not a little mind. The geographic reach of an online show is going to have an impact. So I think, you know, how that plays out, I don't know. But I'm sure there are going to be live shows, and I'm sure that there are going to be people who really want to go to them.
Yeah, I have a shipping issue that I really need live shows.
What's your shipping issue?
That any one panorama is $150 to ship.
The ones that are behind you there?
Yes. I mean, I could switch to acrylic and probably get by with less.
Is there glass?
But it's still, I don't like acrylic. I think something you spend that much money on should have some weight to it. And but it's just, you know, basically online I sell prints. I mean, the frames are on there, but I don't think I've sold a frame piece. I do offer delivery in the Virginia area, and I've delivered a few, but I have not shipped anything. I really don't want to go to FedEx and stay on the ground for half an hour to watch them pack it, because I have one get packed wrong and it got broken.
Yeah, I think it's going to be important to start thinking of shipping as for some people, it means delivery. I mean, depending on what your artwork is. If you're a jeweler, right? No issue.
Yes.
But after that, it's like, does this mean delivery or does this mean a new packing way? Or, I mean, it really depends on the artwork, how to do that.
I have a friend who is a woodworker. In fact, he was at Sharon's show and lives in Michigan, got a huge order from somewhere in Miami, I think it was. And he drove it down to Miami.
Yeah.
No, because it was worth it. The order was so huge.
Was right, like now, my guidelines are, I don't want to spend my profit on gas and I don't want to stay in the hotel. So that gives me about a four and a half, 5 hour range. You know, I can go 5 hours, drop it off, and come 5 hours back. And you know, I'm used to driving long distances, so that's not bad. But I don't, you know, once COVID's not a problem, then delivery, if I don't mind getting out in the van. I love to drive.
Yeah. That's one of the things I miss the most, is the travel.
Mm-hmm. Once a week, I take the van out and I take it up. I take it for like 30 miles. No, actually, it's probably more like 60 miles, but just to give it a workout. And I put the music on and I pretend like I'm going to an art show.
Yeah.
We had one, Cindy was talking to a glass artist on, he was setting up for the virtual show, and he was expressing concern about having to ship it and or deliver it or whatever. And she said, and it's very expensive glass. And so she said, are you telling me that if you sell that $2,000 piece, you're not going to figure out how to get it to the customer? He said, oh, well, yeah, I would figure that out if I sold it. Well, then, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I do get a little concerned at times being an older female. And I had one old, I mean, she must have been 80 years old. She was wearing, you know, walking with a walker and very old. And she wanted me to order three pictures, frame pictures, and wanted me to deliver them. And I'm like, is this a setup? But actually, it wasn't. You know, I get to the house and I, you know, send my husband the address if I'm not out, and if I don't text you back in an hour.
Yeah.
I probably watch too much Law and Order.
Exactly.
Oh. Sharon, when's the next time there's going to be a show director call?
I thought the announcement came from Connie, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tomorrow at 1.
Oh, geez. Okay, great. I'm glad I
asked. I thought she sent that during when we were doing, she put it off until we were done because I didn't want to, I just couldn't deal with it. But she sent an announcement out that they were going to make it this, I think it's there's the one tomorrow. And then I think after that, it's either the second or third Tuesday of the month every month.
Excellent. I'll have to go check. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Well, this has been wonderful, everyone. I have to sign off because I have another one starting at 3. How ridiculous. This is my social life.
Yes.
Everybody.
Happy President's Day.
Yeah.
I have to take the trash.
Stay healthy, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Sharon, it was nice seeing you again.
Yes, thank you, Larry. I just I've been a little busy, so now I'll try to be more consistent. So we will. I have plenty of questions, so we'll see if we get some input.
All right. Good seeing everybody else. See you next week.
Hey. All right. Go keep the dogs, Larry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.